Last week, we started a new series, and it's called Focus Life. And we're going to spend the next 2 months, October, November, looking at Focus Life. And then we're going to take a break there for Christmas and look at the Christmas and Advent. And then starting in January through May, we're going to continue Focus Life. These first 2 months, we're going to spend looking at the life of Jesus. In January, we're going to spend time looking at the book of Acts and looking at the early church and what the early church was doing as they began and started moving forward, and what that has to do with focused life. And really, the way that we're looking at this is within our vision that as disciples, we need to be making disciples. And the essential elements that go with making disciples, and that is connect to Christ, grow with others, engage the world. We're going to look at, over the next, this month and next month, we're looking at how Jesus did those things. Last week, we looked at how Jesus connected to his Father, and we're going to continue to do that again this week. Last week, specifically, we looked at John 5. In John 5, Jesus had just healed the lame man. It was the Sabbath, and the professionals in the law weren't too happy about that. And Jesus, and then he went on to say, you know, where he called that he was doing the work of his Father. And they didn't like that even more. And they complained. And so Jesus basically defended himself. And he said six things. He says that I, Jesus, work like my Father. He says that I, Jesus, can only do what my Father is doing. He says that the Father gives life and Jesus gives life. He said that the Father entrusts Jesus towards judgment. He gives Jesus responsibilities. He says, if you don't honor the Son, you can't honor the Father. And he talked about that Jesus' works testify that the Father sent him. So we got to see how connected Jesus and his Father are. They continue to be connected. Today we're going to look a little bit more practical side of that. We're going to look at how Jesus, while he was on this earth, spent time with his Father. And really, this is simple to do. It's just looking at Scripture and finding those places where Jesus spent time with his dad. You know, it's just looking at, and how did he do that? And we can look at this and say, man, this seems pretty simple. Well, it kind of is. Why are we looking at this? Well, if we are supposed to be connected to Christ and Jesus is our example on how we do that, then we need to stop and look at what he did. Pretty simple. We all remember some of us remember the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet craze that went on for, who remembers that? Okay, anyone under the age of 25 probably doesn't. Some do, okay. But we asked, what would Jesus do? It was pretty simple. What would Jesus do? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We look at God, we follow his example. And then the example that's given here is Jesus. We follow God's example by being like Jesus. So we ask those questions, what would Jesus do? How do we be like Jesus? And so that's why we're taking this time, because we've put out there, connect to Christ, grow with others, engage the world. But if we aren't looking at Jesus first, then we're doing all of those things in our own strength and our own energy, and it really doesn't matter, does it? Because as we said in our 1 John series, multiple times, it's all about Jesus. Can I get you guys to say that with me? Who's it about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So three things. We're going to look at three simple things today, and we're going to try to get through this pretty quick because it's simple. First of all, Jesus connected to the Father at church. Jesus went to church, right? Whether they call it a church like we call it a church today, not necessarily. They didn't do that. They didn't call it a church. And part of me says, well, why would I put this up there on a Sunday morning? Because really, anyone hearing it is already here. So I'm kind of, as they say, preaching to the choir. Well, some, because some of you were up here singing in the choir, and now you're down there. So that was kind of funny. All right. Luke 2, verse 49. Jesus, we know the story of Jesus as a young boy. They had gone to Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph were heading home with the family, and they got a couple days out, and they finally stopped to realize that Jesus wasn't with them. And some of us would think, well, they're terrible parents that they didn't know their son was with them, but there was a different culture back then. They didn't load up into one car and all drive off together. They were traveling, and he comes back, and they are scurrying looking for him, and they finally find him. And where is he? He's in the temple courts, and he's talking with the other religious leaders, and he's basically wowing them with the things that he's saying and the questions he's asking. And they find him, and they say, where have you been? Why did you take off? Whatever it was that a freaked out mom and dad would say. And he responds, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? 12 years old. And this was his priority. Some parents right now of teenagers are thinking, well, I wish it had been my kid's priority at 12 or now. Of course, some of you are got kids as that are grown adults and were wishing they had a priority like this. The word that stands out to me the most when I read this verse, had. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Do we make that a priority in our own lives? Is this something that we say, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? For my kids, it's one of those things that, well, your kids are pastor's kids, so of course they have to be, you know, at church. They know they have to be, you know. I think the coolest thing is, for those of you that don't know, you know, I didn't graduate from Toccoa and go straight into church ministry, and I've been there for the last 25 years. That's not how it worked for me. I've been in church. I've managed food places. I was a pet department manager at Walmart. I worked with the YMCA. I worked with the Boys and Girls Club. I've worked in church. I've worked out of church. And I've shared this before, but it was one of the best things I could have ever. For me, it was the biggest compliment I've ever gotten. And it was from my son, Brandon. And right now he's thinking, what was it, Dad? Oh, no, he's talking about me. I was working at the YMCA, and Brandon came into my office one day. He says, Dad, you're the same. I said, what do you mean, Brandon? He goes, well, when you were a pastor at the church, you were this way, and now that you're here at the YMCA as a sports director, you're the exact same person. You're the same. And I said, I'll take that. That's good to hear, especially from your own kids, right? So even when I wasn't a pastor in a church, guess where we were on Sundays and Wednesdays? And guess where they didn't have to ask, are we going to church tonight? Are we going to church tomorrow morning? They just knew. Because somewhere along the line, for me, I made that commitment to say I had to be in my father's house. We don't necessarily live that way today sometimes. The statistics tell us that the average person that is committed to church is in Sunday mornings twice a month. That's what the statistics say, that they are in Sunday morning twice a month. Those are church regulars. That's a big difference from 25 years ago. Now, part of that is our culture has changed. Our culture used to protect Sundays with activities, be activity free. Our cultures used to protect Wednesdays. I grew up in an elementary school where we got out 50 minutes earlier on Wednesdays. So we had time to get home and do our chores and get dinner so that we could still make it to church that night. It's not that way anymore. Even as far back as only 15 years ago, I was in a community that on Wednesday nights, their high school and middle school athletes did not practice on Wednesdays because they wanted to make sure that the kids were in church on Wednesday evenings. That's not the way it is anymore. So our culture has changed, and we have to figure that out. We have to struggle with that. What does that mean for us as believers? And what examples can we sometimes be on a Sunday morning on the side of a soccer field with some non-believers and having opportunities to talk with them about Jesus? I'm not saying you never miss church, but I'm saying it has to be a priority in our life. And the people that we come in contact need to know that. Flash forward a couple years. well, a number of years. Jesus is now an adult, and he's living out his life, and he's doing his ministry. And it says this in Luke 4:16. He says, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. As was his custom. That phrase basically means what? Like he did every time. Like he normally did. It wasn't a question. Is Jesus going to be in the synagogue today? Did his disciples ever say to him, hey, Jesus, the Sabbath is coming up. We're going to be in this town. Are we going to synagogue? Do you think they asked that? No, because it was his custom. They knew that that's where he was going to be. They knew that's where he was going to go. It was his custom. The people in your life, do they know enough about you to say, Sunday morning, we know where they are? It amazes me sometimes when I get a text from different people at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Not when they're responding to the student pastor thing, but other times. Because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to respond to this anytime soon. And even sometimes when it comes from people that I'm like, they know I'm a pastor. They know I'm here because they're in my congregation. Where are they right now? Sometimes I want to text back, while you're out, get me, I'll have this for breakfast. Can you have it here after the service? Bring me some food. As was his custom, even as an adult. 12 years old, I had to be in my father's house. As an adult, as was his custom. Jesus, I believe, spent these times not because he had to, not because it was culturally the thing to do, not because he was trying to just be a good rabbi, but because he knew that this is opportunity for him to connect to his Father in a corporate setting with other people. Jesus shows the importance of that in his life, and I think it's something that we have to make sure that we make sure that we have as a priority and important in our life. Second thing I want to look at this morning is that Jesus took time to pray. Are we totally down? Jesus took time to pray. Jesus connected through prayer. All right. It's not going at this point. All right. So, Jesus connected through prayer. We're going to look at a number of scriptures, and I'm going to be flipping back and forth through them because we're not going to be looking them up on the screen. So, if your Bibles, get them out and get ready for the sword drill. Who remembers those? I have specific rules for my sword drills. And so you're going to have to follow them perfectly if you want to win. All right. First one, Jesus connected to the Father through prayer. Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. Okay, if you want to do the sword drill, you hold it by the binder. Arms up, straight up, no bent elbows. No bent elbows. Nope, that's bent. Straight as possible. All right, I'll say it. Mark 1:35. You repeat the reference to me. And then when I say the word charge, you start looking it up, which I just said. So we will not do this every time because Doc's sitting down here and he's just punching it real quick into his phone and got it. Someone's like, hey, Siri, look up Mark 1:35. There it is. We got it up there. See, by the time we did all of that. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus connected to his Father through prayer. To me, when I read this verse, this is one of my favorite verses. Jesus didn't just accidentally end up in a solitary place. He got up that morning with intention, and he went to this place because he knew that when he got there, he was going to be praying. Well, we'll go back. Luke 6:12, same thing. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. How long? All night. When was the last time we did that? All night. One of those days, Jesus went out. Now, here's the reality. Right after this, the next morning, Jesus chose his disciples. When you're making a major decision like that, Yeah, you need to be praying. A lot of these times where we hear that Jesus went off to pray, it's because it was either following a very busy time in his ministry, or a major decision was going to be done, or something major was about to happen. Okay? Matthew 14:23, after he had dismissed them, who was them? This was right after feeding the 5,000. Right after feeding the 5,000, he dismissed them. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. He got away. This is recovery time. But what was he doing? After a big miracle like feeding 5,000 people, plus, because it's actually 5,000 men, plus men and women and children, so we don't even know how many, first thing Jesus does is he went off to the mountainside and prayed. Do you know what I love about this one? He went for a hike. Because that's my favorite place to pray too. He went for a hike on the mountainside. John 11. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He comes before the grave. He says, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. Again, we see Jesus in the middle of ministry about to bring someone back from the dead. And what does he do? He stops and he takes time to pray and connect with his Father right in the middle of ministry. That's why for me, when I'm up here, when we're going through this on a Sunday morning, we can never pray too much. We can never pray too much. Because Satan is going to do all he can to get us off task. He's going to mess with the screens. Of course, Jack and I were talking about this morning in prayer. We got to make sure we don't give him too much credit. Sometimes things just stop working. He brought that up because I came out this morning to get in my car. When I got in my car, I tried to start it and the battery was dead. I was all excited about coming to church. My battery was dead. So I had to take time and get out the jumper cables and start Jessica's. And at first I had to go find her keys and then extend the cables, get it jumped. And my tailgate was left open. But we keep going, right? Luke 22. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. This is in the garden. He tells his disciples to stay there and pray. He tells them to pray. He goes, stone's throw beyond them. He kneels down and prays. He says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Again, just before he's going into probably. He's going into the hardest, most difficult thing he's ever going to have to do. And I'm not talking about the cross. I'm talking about him taking on the weight of all of our sin. And he says, Father, if there's another way that this can be done, can we do it? But in that connecting to his Father, he says, but if this is the only way, then give me strength and I'll do this. And he struggles. We see the struggle. The scriptures tell us his struggle. What's it say? That drops like blood. But he's connecting to his Father. Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus spent time to connect to his Father through prayer. Not only do we see that in the Gospels, but here in Hebrews as well. This is what he did. And we are looking at this because we, as his followers, should be imitating him. Number three. If you saw in those verses, we're going to go back and look at almost all of those same verses. Jesus connected to his Father in solitude. Many of those verses, all of those verses, he goes off on his own. We're there. Here we go. Mark 1:35. What's it say? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Who was with him? Well, his Father was. His Father was. No other humans were with him. He went off to a solitary place. Is that hard to do in this world sometimes? Yes, there's people everywhere. Some of you are introverts, and you're saying, yes, there are people everywhere. Some of us are extroverts. We're going, yes, there are people everywhere. It's funny how we like the different things. Jesus went off to a solitary place. And we go back to Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out. Mountainside to pray to God. He went out to a mountainside. Those mountains weren't places that probably a lot of people went to. He went off to be quiet. 14:23. Again, look back. Come on. Now we're going too fast. He dismissed them. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. He went off to solitary where he could focus in on his Father. This was a focused life to Jesus. Jesus did this with intentionality. He wanted to spend time. He wanted to be alone. That's what he did, to focus on his Father. I like this one, Mark. Can you just do it from back? This is not going. Mark 6:31. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. This is, he's talking to the disciples, and this is after they've done ministry. And yeah, we could even take this and say, well, this is really almost kind of a soul care kind of thing, but I still think he was telling them, showing them as examples of what he did. Now he's saying to his disciples, when you're done doing ministry, you need to take some time and get some rest. And I don't think this is just necessarily going and taking a nap. I think this is time spending with the Father so that he can be they can be re-energized for their next thing that God has them to do. And so there is connection taking place with the Father. Go to the next one. Luke 22:39-40. And this is earlier what we say. We're going to look at all four of these verses now. But Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Verse 41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And here we go again. He'd gone to the place with his disciples, but he knew he was going to spend some time in heavy prayer. So he says, you guys right here, you wait here. I'm going to go over here by myself, and I'm going to connect to the Father. We live in a very busy world where we have sounds and things coming at us all the time. And life gets busy. We can run from one thing to the next all the time. And before you know it, the whole week's gone by, hasn't it? And we find ourselves back in church on Sunday morning. Guys, I believe that these things that Jesus did to connect with his Father were not things that he waited and just said, when I have a break in my day, when I have a break in my week, then I am going to take time to spend time with my Father. He was intentional about all of them. He made time. He knew ahead of time when he was going to do these things. And my hope and encouragement is that we will do the same thing. I've got a video for us that we're going to close with. And we're praying that the screens keep working. Okay? But I want you to watch this video. Well, yeah, just watch and read.